Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you the fifth and the sixth Mishnah of the eighth chapter of Vav Metzia for OU Shnayim Mishnah program. Continue with the issue of a dispute among the buyer and a seller of an item. Hamocher zeitav leitzim. You sell a guy your olive trees for the sake of the wood. And during the time that he was waiting to cut them down and bring them to his own fields to burn the wood or do whatever it does, one does for the wood. V'asu pachot mirvi'it lasa, hari elu shabal abayit. And they grow olives, and the olives can be squeezed for less than one quarter of a log per sa'a. A log is 1/24 of a sa'a, so that means that you got a total volume of oil produce of less than 196. In that case, the seller of the tree doesn't care. We ask him not to care, and the olive oil should go to the person who purchased the olive tree for the wood. So Hari Elu Shobal Hazetim, the one who purchased the trees, gets the produce. However, Asur V'it L'sa'ah, what if they did make a quarter log or more of the oil? Then we have a dispute. Zeomer Zeti Gidelo. So the guy who purchased the trees say, hey, it was my trees that produced the olives and therefore the oil. V'zeomer Artzi Gidela Yachloku. And the guy who sold it to him says, no, it was because the trees were planted in my land. That's why it produced so much oil, or at least a reasonable amount of oil. Therefore, they have to split things right down the middle. And the reason why this is true is because normally when you say you're going to purchase olive trees for wood, you stipulate in the contract that you're going to get rid of them right away, that you're going to cut them down right away. So if the guy did not cut them down right away and they grew olives, that certainly would belong to the owner of the land, the seller, because the guy was supposed to get rid of them, was supposed to cut them down and take them away. If the stipulation was, no, I'm going to leave them on your land for as long as I want, then they certainly would have belonged to the owner of the owner of the wood trees, the owner of the trees, because the stipulation was, I can leave it on your land, and whatever happens with the trees is mine. What happened here is that they didn't stipulate one way or the other how fast the trees were supposed to be removed, and therefore there's a question of what really wound up producing the quality olives. Was it the fact that they were still planted in my field, or was it the fact that it was good wood? So therefore, since we don't know, we split it down the middle. The next case also has to do with an olive tree, but there's no buying or selling. What we have is a act of God. Shataf Nahar Zeitav Unutanam l'toch sadeh chavero, zeomer zeti gidelo, v'zeomer artzi gidela, yachaloku. So a flash flood washed out an olive tree from somebody's property and deposited it into his neighbor's property. And each one claims that the olives that were then produced by that tree on the second property belongs to them. The owner of the tree says, hey, it was originally my tree, and therefore I get the olives. And the other one says, no, grew on my land, and therefore they're my olives, so they split the difference. Now, the Gemara explains that actually the case can't be what it seems. Because in a normal situation, there was no way we could ask the owner of the field where the tree, that is the place where the tree is now planted because of this act of God, we can never take away the tree from him. The reason why we can't take a tree from him is you're not allowed by law, by Jewish law, to uproot plants from Eretz Yisrael, which means the owner would wind up getting it anyway. So the Gemara states that two things are happening here. One is that enough dirt and roots came with the tree to allow it to, well, we'll see, grow on its own, but allow it to do something else. We'll see in a second. And this only applies to the first 3 years. That is, after the first 3 years of the washout, so then the fruits, the olives definitely belong to the owner of the land to where the tree was washed out. However, if the tree hadn't been washed out, then the landowner would have had to plant his own tree if he wanted olives. And if he would have planted his own tree, for the first 3 years, he couldn't eat those olives because of the law of Orla. Orla states that for the first 3 years from the planting of the tree, you're not allowed to eat the fruit. You have to let them rot. So therefore, he's getting a benefit from the previously planted tree, which washed out into his field. Now, why is the dirt around the tree very important? Because had the dirt not come and the tree just planted by itself in the new person's land, so again, the three-year cycle would have started over. However, since it came with enough of its dirt to essentially be fed by the roots and dirt that was surrounding it. We do not start the counting of the years over again. And therefore, normally where you wouldn't have been able to eat from this newly planted tree for 3 years, now you can because it came with its own dirt. So therefore, the guy who had the washout, the person who lost the tree, essentially benefits the new owner of the tree by 3 years of produce. And therefore, since he did his part, so to speak, even though it was an act of God, therefore the owner is and he benefits from him, and therefore he gives him half of the profits of the olives. In Mishnah 6, we return to the issue of borrowing and renting, and we focus specifically on rules of house rentals, renting houses. Hamaskir bayit lechaveiro bimotag shamim enu yachol lehotzio min hachag v'yad haPesach. Somebody who rents a house out, so let's say you rent a house out to somebody during the rainy season, say November, or Kislev. So you're not allowed to evict him from the house until Pesach, and that's because that during the rainy season, and this is the really cool thing about Israel that you don't see possibly in some other countries, but it never rains between Nisan and Tishrei during the summer months, and it only rains during the rainy season, which is essentially from Sukkot, the 15th of Tishrei, onto Pesach. And since it's hard to find a rental during the rainy season, therefore you're simply not allowed to evict the guy. You could evict the guy a day after Pesach is over, but you cannot evict him earlier than that. Now, what if you rented in Bimota Chama? Then Shloshim Yom. So if you rented to the guy during the summer months, and obviously you didn't specifically write down and stipulate a long-term contract, so then 30 days is all you have to give the guy to get out and to find a new apartment to rent. Uvichrachim, however, what if you're in a walled city, which is a densely populated city where people, there's just not a lot, the rental market's not good because everybody wants to live there and there's not a lot of free apartments. So echad yimod chama, whether you're in the summer season, v'echad yimod shamim, whether you're in the winter season, shnei masar chodesh, you get a full 12 months. If you want to start evicting somebody, you have to start the process 12 months in advance. Uvachanuyot echad ayarot v'echad kerachim, shnei masar chodesh. Now, what if the guy is a shopkeeper? You rented out a guy an apartment, and you know that he's using that apartment in a shop, in a store, in a shuk, or whatever it is, to sell his goods. In that case, it doesn't make a difference whether he's in a walled city or not a walled city, whether apartments are easy to get or not easy to find. You have to give him 12 months. And that's because it takes time for somebody to gather up his debts. Just like today, people generally do not pay cash up front. You send somebody an invoice and you wait for them to pay off their debts, and this guy has the right. It is not fair to ask this guy to have to move, and he won't be able to find his customers and collect his debts, so therefore he gets a full 12 months if he's in a krachim, so he gets 12 months anyway, whether he's a storekeeper or not. But if he's not in a krachim, and theoretically you can find apartments more easily, and theoretically in the summer you only get 30 days, if the guy's a store owner, he gets a full year. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel talks about two special kinds of store owners, or shopkeepers, a chanut shel nachtomim, a store that sells bread, a bakery, v'shel tzabaim, and one that sells dye, that sells dye goods, or is a dye maker. In that case, shalosh shanim, you get a full 3 years. And that's either because, based on the various commentaries, it's either because it takes longer to pull in the debts because there are a lot of debts for a dye maker and for a baker because they have a lot of customers. Or the other possibility is the equipment is so particular, bakery equipment and dye equipment is so large, so huge, and so particular, it's hard to find a replacement, somebody who will rent you a replacement for those, and therefore you have to give the person 3 years before the eviction can take place.